And of course, I'm sitting there, and waves of relief are washing over me because I'm saying, you know what? When I sit down here, I was scared to death when I saw you. But I think God told me also that he wanted to heal you. So we prayed this kind of prayer saying, well, Lord, here we are. We don't know how to do this, but we know you can. We think you told us you want to. But if we're delusional, that's okay. We still know that you can. We want you to. So we just pray that you'd heal. I can't remember the guy's name. That was it. No hoop-de-doo, no head shrinking, no nothing visible. That was 24 years ago. The last I heard, that guy is still around. It was a matter of a couple of weeks, and all of the symptoms of his cancer were so reduced that he went in, they had him in for a checkup, and over the next 2 years they checked him out and he was completely cancer free. That's half the story. The other half the story is there was a family in our town that heard about that. And they had a 15-year-old daughter that had the same kind of cancer. So they called me and they said, would you mind coming down and praying for our daughter? No, they didn't call me. Some relatives of theirs called me. So here's Bob, the hot hand with cancer prayers. So I'm not feeling too intimidated as I'm driving down to the hospital, but as I'm praying, God said something, you know, he said, I'm not going to heal her. I'm going to take her home. She's going to get the perfect healing. And then I thought, oh no, these people have expectations. What am I going to do? And the Lord said, tell them the truth. So all the way up the elevator to the third floor, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And we come, and I see the parents are standing outside the hospital room, and they have these beaming smiles on their faces. And I introduced myself, and they said, Pastor, we don't know you. You don't know us, but we just want to tell you something about our daughter. I think her name was Julie. They said, our daughter loves Jesus. She's been told she's only got a couple of more weeks and she gets to go to be with Jesus. She feels like God spoke to her heart and said that's what he's going to do. He's going to take her home. And she said, so we just wanted you to know that. And I said, well, I think he said that same thing to me on the way here. Are you all right with that? And they looked at each other and they smiled and they said, well, we think he said that to us too. So she's not ours. She belongs to Jesus. So we went in the room. We stood around the hospital bed and we prayed almost exactly the same prayer. We said, well, Lord, we know you can. We want you to. We think you told us that you're not going to heal her temporarily. You're going to heal her permanently by taking her to heaven. But we're going to ask you to do it, and we just want your will to be done. She went to be with Jesus about 11 days later. Same cancer, same people, almost virtually the same prayer, same Jesus. I think that that's the one most important thing when we are asking God to do something miraculous, is do we know that it's what he wants to do? And I would say that sometimes we haven't even really asked him what he wants to do. Call for the elders of the church. Elders, plural. You got better odds of somebody having the faith to believe God's going to actually do something if you have more than one person. I think that's at least worth considering. Having anointed him with oil would be a better way of reading verse 14. And the word for anointing is not the normal verb that's used for religious anointing. It's a kind of a popular word in the Bible, Old and New Testament. But this word is not the normal one. I'll give you the word if you want it. It's alepho, A-L-E-I. P-H-O. It is a word that's used for medicinal purposes, the use of a medicinal oil or use of oil in a medicinal way. And because of that, one of the commentaries that I read said, if you follow the syntax properly of the sentence, this is a guy that, once again, remember, that doesn't really believe that God still works miracles today. He said what this is saying, if you're faithful to the syntax in the Greek, is to treat them medically first, then pray in the name of the Lord for God to bless the medical procedure. And I have to say, I don't really have a problem with that, because I know that God's the one that heals. It's not the medicine that heals. It's not the prayer that heals. It's not the prayer that heals. I'm going to give God the credit for it. So there are the people who look at this very, very closely and don't have a positional axe to grind, interpret this anointing with oil in one of two ways. Either that it's to, you know, it's just a euphemism for treat this person medically. By the way, two other times that this word for anointing is used, this medicinal, are both in the story of the Good Samaritan in two of the Gospels. Remember where he took the guy to the inn? It says he anointed him with oil and bound up his wounds. So, or the other position about the anointing with oil is at face value, which is the way I believe it. In the Old Testament, it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming on someone. And I just look at it as a point of contact. Like mud. Or the Jordan River for Naaman. You know what I mean? It's not special oil. So, how much more time do I have? 10 minutes, maybe? Okay, I'm going to need that much. We're going to pick this up next week and overlap a little bit. But I want to say something about the prayer offered in faith. Saving the sick person. Now, some people say this isn't talking about physical healing at all, but is talking to the last part of verses 14 and 15 are talking about salvation. And some of the difficulty is that the word that's translated save or heal can be used interchangeably for both. It can be a physical healing. It can be a spiritual healing. It can be an emotional healing. It's a broader word than just a physical healing. But I think if you look at the context of it, James is talking about a physical healing. I do think the same principle applies in other ways. Here's the thing I want us to see. The seeking of God's will is the primary thing. All of the verbs that are used in here about prayer all have at their root and in nature a request. That's what the word prayer is. It's a request. It's not a demand. We don't demand that God do something and then we will not take no for an answer. That's just foreign to the biblical concept of prayer. Prayer offered in faith. Pistuo is the verb. Pistis is the noun. It's the P word. You know the word for faith. It means to place your full weight on God. It means to trust in him, to cling to him, to rely upon him. It's all about his power and his will. And the phrase, in the name of the Lord, we've looked at that many times in the Gospels. It's the phrase for power of attorney. It means representing him, representing his wishes. I just thought of an example today that might make it clear. When I was building my house, I had an account at Poole Brothers in those days. And I had a list of contractors that were doing different jobs on my house. And I went down to Poole Brothers and I said, okay, here's a list of guys that if they come in to get material, put it on my account. They'll give you my name. This is for Bob Cull. And I said, these are approved guys. Now that meant the agreement I had with the contractors who bought supplies in my name did not mean that they could come down and buy a new chop saw if they wanted. It didn't mean they could come down and, you know, get whatever they wanted. It meant that they bought what they needed to do the job I hired them to do. So that power of attorney thing, this is very, very misunderstood. It wasn't the church I grew up in before I came to Calvary Chapel. We thought the phrase "in Jesus' name" was like the open sesame of the Christian world. Well, I want a new Mercedes in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and God says, oh, well, you said in Jesus' name, okay, I guess I have to give you one. Like it was leverage. But at its root, it simply means, when Jesus said it to his disciples, when it's passed on to us, it simply means whatever we're asking for, properly representing his wishes and who he is, it's the same as him asking. And those are two very important things to see in this passage. The prayer which is offered in trusting in God, the prayer which is in his name, representing his wishes, that's the one that's effective. So, does God heal today? Well, I've seen it too many times to say no, he doesn't. I feel sorry for people that say no, it makes me angry a little bit. The people that say don't expect any miracles from God, because if people don't expect that because somebody told them, they don't ask and they don't get to see what God wants to do. He does. I've seen him do it. Does he heal everybody every time and immediately? Well, obviously no, he doesn't. Some of the most godly people in Scripture were people who weren't healed. Paul, classic example. Somebody saw a question on Jeopardy. You know, what person besides Jesus raised somebody from the dead in the Bible? Well, the answer was Paul. Remember when we studied the book of Acts? And Paul raised Eutychus from the dead, fell out of a window and died, and Paul went over and prayed for him and raised him to life. Do you know that that same person that had the faith to raise somebody from the dead asked Jesus for healing for his body 3 times, and every time the Lord said, no, I have a better plan. My grace will be enough for you. And that tells me that, well, of course, there are many other examples. Does God always heal? No, God does what's best. We just studied last week that there are definite examples of where a healing isn't the best, or at least an immediate healing isn't the best. And I want to throw this in just to get it on tape. All healings are temporary. Just like all resurrections from the dead are temporary until the final one. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. You know what I mean? So all healings are temporary until we get our new bodies, and then they're permanent. So here's a little bit of a rabbit trail. What possible reason could God have for not healing somebody? If we know he's able, if we believe he still does, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what possible reasons could God have for not healing? I wrote 4 things down that have occurred to me. One, and they all come from Scripture, but the first one's the most obvious. One's found in Isaiah 38, if you're interested in checking it out, with a man named Hezekiah, who out of his own mouth said that a sickness that he tried to get rid of and tried to pray away, which God allowed to come later when he was healed, he looks back on that experience and said, you know what? I needed that. I learned dependence on God in a way I never would have if I'd have been healthy. So he said, I saw that sickness as a blessing from God. So a way to learn humility and dependence upon God is one reason why maybe he doesn't heal. Slow our lives down, narrow our focus is another reason. Americans have this thing, pedal to the metal, until we crash. So God lets us crash. Oh, God, take this away so I can go pedal to metal and ruin my life. And God says, ain't no way. I love you too much. I'm going to shut you down for a while. Narrow your focus. It's very effective, and it winds up being a sweet experience if we don't fight it, because he draws close. Remember Hannah Whitehall Smith. The prerequisite to being comforted is to be uncomfortable. So that's one reason that God allows sickness. And sometimes it's to change our behavior. All of those things are reasons, I believe, why God would allow it. I've had lots of people ask me, as people have asked Bill, about our headaches, which for me have been so debilitating this last year. Because I know God can heal them, because he has. I've been so dizzy and so, you know, in pain that I couldn't think straight on my way to church. And when I ask you guys to pray for me, the headache goes away instantly. I've also prayed and prayed and had God not take it away. Bill will tell you the same thing if he was here. We have come to the conclusion that when God heals us, we're going to always pray that he does. You need therapy if you like pain. So I don't love the pain. I believe God can heal me. I know he can heal those headaches. He's done it before. So what do I do when he doesn't? Well, the first thing I've tried to find out is there something, is there a reason, a good reason that he has? And he's shown me, yes, there is. Will I be faithful in pain? It's an opportunity to be faithful when I don't want to get out of bed. It's an opportunity to be kind when I'm at the edge in pain. It's an opportunity to think about others. You know how pain just screams at you. When you're in pain, it's all about you, baby. And by God allowing, he's given me an opportunity to be other-centered. Now, all of those things are hard for me. So obviously, I need that, don't I? Okay. We'll pick some of this up next week, because I'm running out of time. I want to close with one statement. Clearly, God does not give immediate healing for every prayer of faith. And yet many are not healed simply because there's no prayer of faith offered up at all. The best approach, I think, in praying for the sick is to pray with a humble, even childlike confidence that God will heal them. Unless God clearly and sovereignly has made it clear that that's not his will. I pray that he will, unless he's told me that he will not. And then leave the matter to him, which is easy if you trust his heart. Some of the most important people in my life, the people that I've loved in my life, I prayed every single day. I prayed every day for my wife to be healed. For years, with tears. And God did not heal her. I prayed every single day for 8 years for my father to be healed. And he was. He was taken home to be with Jesus. I trust my Heavenly Father the more I know him. So I think the beautiful balance here is to take everything to Jesus. You're in trouble? Talk to him first. You're happy? Give him credit for that. If you need a physical touch in your body, Jesus hasn't changed. We believe that. There's a procedure to go through. And then leave it up to his goodness, what he does. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Next week, we'll talk about the rest of this. Let's pray. I know I've got lots to learn, Lord, and so I pray that for each of us that we would prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. I pray we would never limit you simply because of our unbelief. I always want to believe that you can do anything, because it's true. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have to call upon the living God. And Lord, may we know your heart so that when you don't do things immediately the way we want you to, we'll still trust you. and will be patient like Job and persevere like Job till what you want to finally bring about for our good comes to pass. So, Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' name.